Hello and welcome to another episode of Galbraith Podcasts. I'm your host Matt Finlay and I'm delighted to be bringing you our latest Rural Matters discussion. We've got a busy panel today with key figures from across the Scottish farming and agricultural industry. First off, partner at Galbraith based in our Stirling office, Alistair Christie. Alistair, welcome to what is your podcast debut.
Thanks very much, Matt. Nice to be here and nice to be in such great company, and I'm looking forward to it.
Joining his colleague at Galbraith is Mike Haldy, who's our agricultural consultant in our Castle Douglas office. Mike, welcome as well.
Hi, Matt. Yep, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Great to have you. So we've got two special external guests joining the discussion today. Firstly, I'm delighted to be joined by Carol McLaren of RSABI. Carol is the chief executive of the charity, which provides vital support for those across the agricultural industry. Carol, welcome.
Morning, Matt. Morning, everyone. Delighted that you've invited RSABI to join you today.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. And rounding off our bumper lineup, we have Cammy Wilson. Cammy is a sheep farmer from Ayrshire and has taken the social media world by storm with his excellent channel, The Sheep Game, which showcases life on the farm, as well as his renowned podcast, Fed by Farmers. Now, Cammy, according to your strapline, it's a positive place to chat all things farming and more, so which is something that we intend to do today. So welcome.
Perfect. Thanks very much, Matt. Yeah, pleasure to be here. And yeah, great panel. So I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. Now, I'm going to pass you on to Al Christie, who's going to kick off our discussion today.
Yeah, thank you so much to all giving up your time to be here today. As we know, being connected to the agricultural industry, it has been probably one of the toughest winters and springs for a long, long time. Some say a decade, some say 20 years, some say 50 years. So just very aware that it can be a very isolated industry. Cammy, you speak an awful lot on your podcasts and everything else about the isolation, about keeping communicating, and about the togetherness. And I think one of the biggest things is that we want to get out there today is no farmer is on their own. There'll be a lot of people taking blame themselves for the tough time they've been through, but to give assurances that it is a nationwide issue. Not north to south, east to west, whether you're arable, dairy, beef, you know, sheep, right throughout everything, it's a massive issue for the industry. So looking forward to hearing about some of the challenges, but also I think it's very important for us to discuss that there is a way out, that there is the sun will come back. Here we are, 30th of April. We've been lulled into a couple of sunny days in the last week or two, and unfortunately yesterday and today it's like trying to kick a bad habit. Want to talk about where we are, where we've been, but more looking forward to where we're going as an industry and what we can look forward to over the next few months and coming into probably the autumn and winter that faces us in the back end of the year. Something we always talk about is building resilient businesses. There are some things you can plan for, some things you can't. I'd say that this winter and spring is hopefully a bit of an anomaly, and it would have been pretty impossible to plan for what people have faced. But maybe we want to talk about, you know, looking towards the autumn and next winter, the implications of what has occurred, probably a lack of sheep coming forward in the back end, but also the arable sector as well. There may well be grain issues, there may be straw issues, and how people should maybe be looking forward as opposed to backwards. So really looking forward to hearing from both of you. Something we also want to make people aware is there are options available. Pick up the phone, you know, that there's some great schemes out there, some great support. We're part of that support network. A lot of us are farming people. We've got farming friends, family, you know, and we're very well connected, and we're full of sympathy and empathy for everyone that's going through what we have. So we'll start off with Cammy. Without getting too kind of deep, are you able to kind of give us a bit of a run through of what you faced, you know, out there on the coal face for the last couple of months?
Yeah, no, absolutely, Alan. You make loads of good points there. I think, firstly, obviously, lambing time. It's sheep are the sort of the big one that everyone's becoming or taking note of, certainly having problems. But it's one of these unique times where actually the weather has affected everyone in farming. You know, whether it's folk trying to get crops in, your beef guys thinking about getting fertiliser on and slurry out, etc., or even just getting cattle out when sheds are getting tight. And of course, especially sheep at the moment, it's been bad. But Yeah, we've certainly lost a lot of lambs as a result of the weather, and that takes its toll. Obviously, folk talk about the financial thing, but actually, I never think about that at all. It's the same when I'm not going to go into a tangent about dog attacks, but the news and media and things always try to lead with the financial impact on farmers. No farmer cares. That's not what they're looking at. Yeah. It's all about the psychological, the actual emotional toll that it takes on you. These lambs, we're used to losses at lambing time. Where there's livestock, there's dead stock. And it is the most dangerous time of year for an animal is pregnancy, mm-hmm. giving birth, whether that's a human or it's a sheep or a cow. So you expect losses. It's just when it's so many losses because of something like the weather, which you can't control. And I suppose partly what would be getting to me a bit this year is the fact that we were lambing outside, everything outside for the first time. And the reality is that with me having Scotch mules, far too many sets of triplets. And if you know, we get good weather, we'll get away, no bother. But you get weather like we had with triplets, yeah. It's just a disaster. And you know, we had 100 sets of triplets in the worst of the weather, and triplets lamb first. Mm-hmm. So in that early spell when it's really bad, it's all triplets lambing everywhere, and we'd a lot of loss that it would be fair to say we wouldn't have had if we had them in the shed.
Yeah.
So that starts getting into your psyche a bit, and you think, you know, it's your fault, basically. Yeah. But the one thing I will say that's certainly helped me is, and I sometimes make jokes about this, is the one thing that make you feel better is hearing someone else having a worse time.
yeah, true.
And you know, and I don't mean that in a way that you enjoy hearing them having a worse time.
Yeah.
It just gives you perspective.
Yeah, you're not alone.
You know, you think, my day's bad, I've had 20 dead lambs. And then you speak to, you know, I spoke to a farmer over at Muir Kirk, and he's like, well, I felt a tote bag. Oof. And you're like, yeah. Well, actually, I better stop moaning, yeah. Because it could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
So that certainly helped me through speaking to, you know, a good wee network of farmers in the area, and remembering that actually we're quite mild here at Kilmarnock compared to some of those guys over at Muir Kirk and that kind of area, so yeah. We shouldn't be moaning too much.
There's a fair chance you'll have a bit of grass down where you are. There'll be some higher, barer bits that are maybe a bit heavy stock that are struggling, and the yow's losing condition, and you know the trouble of, you know, having a lamb and walking away because they're not fit, you know, so that there's all those kind of issues as well. And I suppose how did you kind of deal with that on a day-to-day basis? There was probably a good kind of 10-day period there that was probably pretty dark, and you're lying in bed at night and you hear the rain and the wind battering off the window, and you're just thinking, what am I going out to in the morning? You know, how do you have to have a word with yourself sometimes and say, look, I need to get back out the door, you know, or how do you deal with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember one night getting woken up. Obviously, we're lambing outside, so there's no night time checks, which is one benefit of the outdoor lambing thing. But you then have the problem if you get them all in the morning. Mm-hmm. But I remember being woken up at like 2 a.m. one night with the rain, wind and rain battering the window. And you know, for a brief sight of madness, I thought about, you know, stick the head torch on and let's just get started now and see what we can do. But you just make more of a mess.
Carnage.
Going about in the dark.
Yeah.
In that wind and rain, you mix mums and lambs up and you cause carnage. So anyway, that wasn't a fun morning. The one thing that, I say, one of the big saving graces for us, one of them is, you know, we do the YouTube and that, of course, and I always say, like, me speaking to the camera, it's almost like a sort of therapy, because you talk through the situation rather than just internalising it and going, oh, another dead lamb or another this. I have to explain why that's a dead lamb.
Yeah.
And as you talk it through, you almost convince yourself, actually, it's not really your fault. It's the weather, it's certain factors. But one big thing for us, and I learned this a couple of years ago, is that we had a big team.
Yeah.
So, you know, a couple of years ago, I was trying to run about and do it all myself, or myself and Lizzie, trying to do everything, and it was just ridiculous. Like, and you were missing things. You were maybe missing a hungry lamb because you're rushing around, too busy looking for lambing problems and not worrying about the ones that have already been born and issues like that. Whereas last year and this year, you know, we had a big team. We'd four of us, mm-hmm. Plus the odd additional set of hands, plus my mum helping with pet lambs and all that kind of stuff. So we had a big team. You know, we're only lambing 600 ewes in two blocks. So there's 1,200 ewes, but they're split into two lots.
Yeah.
And we'd four people lambing 600 ewes is plenty in a normal year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but thank God we had them in this year, because we were just spending all day running. We literally were just two bikes and trailers going, just ferrying everything in as it lambed.
Yeah, and that must take its kind of physical toll as well. You know, having to kind of... you know, physically handle, you know, a lot of ewes and lambs. Must be really hard physically and mentally. And I suppose we'll bring Carol in now. So we've kind of had a bit of a trot through without dwelling too much on how dark it's been. And, you know, Cammy was saying there, talking to the camera, it's almost like, you know, sharing a problem with someone. And there's the old saying, you know, a problem shared is a problem halved. And, you know, I think that's where it's absolutely vital for people to keep communicating. You know, are you okay? Can you pick up the phone, check in with someone? Are you able to give us a bit of an overview of, you know, what RSABI are up to just now, how they can help if someone does feel, you know, a bit lost, a bit lonely, in a dark place, in the services offered by you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say, you know, a lot of what Cammy's describing certainly resonates with what we've been hearing from people on the ground. We have our 24/7 helpline, really easy number to remember, 0808 123 4555, and we've been hearing from people right across the age spectrum. I think for young farmers to be losing lambs like that through no fault of their own is incredibly hard. You know, they don't have the experience in the years behind them. They felt a sense of failure when really it wasn't their fault. It was no one's fault this year. Older farmers, you know, saying worst spring in living memory on the back of such a wet back end there and things. And we had one farmer who'd had foot and mouth on his farm, and he said he was lower this spring than he was at that time. So that kind of gives a sense, yeah, of the sort of scale of the challenge. And of course, his farm is a stressful job. Lambing's a stressful job anyway. But yeah, when you come into a spring like this and you've got the challenges of all that rain, that snow, that sleet, and you don't recover, you maybe hurt yourself, you don't recover properly, and then you get into a cycle where you're not sleeping right. Cammy was describing here in the rain on the window, if you haven't slept, you wake up in the morning, you can't cope, quickly you're into a downhill spiral and you're feeling out of control and overwhelmed. So we're here, obviously the helpline's open every day, all day and all night. We've got web chat as well, live web chat. Some people, particularly young folk, you know, they don't, not so keen on speaking into their phones, but we're here, we're always here. But a big thing we've done this spring is really push the Keep Talking campaign message. And we've been working with the young farmers and others, and that Are You Okay? That kind of caught on with the, you know, marker spray, yeah, Are You Okay? Yeah, yeah. And then everyone was sharing that, and it's that sense of you're not alone. And we know that just a small amount of kindness can make a massive difference to someone feeling low, can really pull them back from the brink. We've just this week launched Stand By Me. I don't know if you've heard that yet. It's on our social feeds. We'll be encouraging you all to share it. And that we've recorded with the Farmers Choir. So you might remember, Cammy, you'll remember this. You sang in our Christmas Keep Talking message. I'll not describe the quality of your singing, but you were certainly enthusiastic.
Yeah, sang with an inverted commas.
Yeah, you were certainly enthusiastic. So this time, although, you know, we were very grateful to the contributors last time, we did go to the Farmers Choir and they recorded Stand By Me. And we got permission to use that from licensing. And that is exactly the message you're talking about. Just remember, there's so many people in our industry, whether it's your vet, whether it's your auctioneer, whether it's, you know, Harbro, when you walk into the store on a, you know, looking for some more, you know, lamb feeders or whatever, they're there for you. They're looking out for you. And just that sense, you're not alone. You're really not alone.
Yeah.
Because as Cammy says, you know, you can get into that sense of everything's against me and I am feeling really lonely. Hopefully it looks like we'll get a really good response, but there's so much that people can do in their own communities, even at a really busy time of year. Just pick up the phone, just a text message.
Yeah.
That could change someone's day.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I find myself, you know, we spend a lot of time in the car in this job, going between properties, like length and breadth of the country. And, you know, I'm very conscious of if I'm not listening to one of Cammy's podcasts, you know, phone, I know, an old mate that I've not spoken to in a while, you know, or, you know, try and have a think about, especially the ones that, you know, are working on their own, you know, and just make sure they're just check in, you know, who knows the last time they've had someone up the farm road, you know, a lot of the more isolated people, you know, you could be a week, 10 days, a fortnight, you know, and the only person you see is the postie, you know, and or Grace Hill, whatever, or Douglas Bray, or whoever's in doing the necessary. But I mean, it's a serious message and something that I think us as kind of rural professionals need to take a bit of, you know, make sure that we're doing it. We've probably got more time than a lot of people to do it. Time in the car, time in between meetings. You know, just have that two-minute chat. How are you getting on? Is there anything I can do? Do you want me to come and see you? You know, or popping in, not being a pain in the backside, but you know, and certainly not outstaying your welcome. But just a friendly face can be quite a big thing. And I also think that, you know, people in our position we're barometers for people as well. You know, we know our friends, our clients, our contacts pretty well, and you can soon pick up, you know, if someone has really had a change kind of mentally, physically, and, you know, you just make sure that you're checking in on them, you know, and if you are a bit worried about them, you know, make sure you speak to them. Make sure you, you know, let them know that there's people there, people who can listen, people they can talk to, and make yourself available for them. So that's really it. So, I mean, is there anything practical? I won't steal too much thunder here, but obviously cold and wet weather. Is there any kind of toolkits you would advise for farmers, kind of stuff they can put in their armour to get them through lambing physically and mentally a bit better through the harsh weather?
I mean, it's just trying to be kind to yourself where you can. You know, don't be hard on yourself. Things do go wrong. Of course they do. You've got to just kind of get past that and look ahead. And as we were saying, we will get through it. I think we're only about, 9 weeks to the Highland Show now. There's Scotch sheep. We're going to be offering free MOTs to, I think you had one of these last time, Cammy, at Scotch sheep a couple of years ago where we had the...
Well, it was a haircut I got, which is maybe good timing. I was doing that.
So we'll have the kilted barber there. We'll be taking blood pressures as well. And then just gently, you know, checking in on people. How are you? And as you're saying, it's those listening skills. And we're not good at listening. We can be fobbed off with that first, oh, I'm fine, everything's okay. It's just coming back and saying, well, look, you know, you just don't seem your usual self today. Is there anything else going on? And then just having the strength to just be silent for a while and listen to people. That's just a crucial skill.
And what about you, Cammy, out in the field? I mean, getting soaked wet through, you know, day after day. You're out there, you know, crack of dawn, 5:30, 6 in the morning. You're soaked through by 7. Like, how do you deal with that?
Well, I tell you, one, and this is not a tout at all, but, and I think RACBI actually put this across, and I'd never thought about it before until Iona, who co-hosts the Fed by Farmers podcast with me, her dad, and you'll have heard this, Ali, if you he wore a cheap pair of green waterproofs, well-known waterproofs, for years and years and years, and Iona works with us now here in at the Sheep Game, and we do a brand called Bettercraft, but there's loads of good brands, I'm not touting them at all, but her and our siblings bought him this for his, it was his birthday or Christmas, I can't mind, and he cannot believe that he went so many years without a good pair of waterproofs.
Yeah.
She says he cannot. He mentions it every time he sees it, how good these waterproofs. Because it used to be, and I don't think it was, but he used to have to, after like a morning rounds, he'd be so cold and fun up when he came in off the bike, he'd have to go for a bath to warm up.
You don't need that in your day.
Whereas now he doesn't have that problem. No, absolutely not. No. So like I take it for granted because I have done that investment in good waterproofs, but yeah, absolutely. There's loads of good brands out there, but it's worth the investment. So that's definitely one thing. Another thing that I slipped into a little bit there for a while, though I'm out it now, was eating terribly,
like sugar,
too many chocolate biscuits, sugar. So I am zero sugar now at the moment. Like I'm not trying to be like pushing some nonsense diet. Like, but I am just generally speaking, like I'm not a fizzy juice guy or certainly not an energy drink guy or any of this stuff. I'm quite against it, but try to stay away from the sugar because I find I just crash.
Yeah.
Like I convince myself I'm having a bad day. I'm tired. I'll have as mini rolls. My mum buys these mini rolls. Things are unbelievable.
Sucks at a time.
I've had to ask them not. Oh, they're so good. And they almost taste kind of light. You think you're not having that much sugar or badness because they're so nice and fluffy. Yep. But yeah, so I've asked her to stop buying them. But yeah, I've just cut myself off because you were tired. You're getting, you know, 4.5, 5 hours sleep. You're then nailing all this chocolate and sugar, and then come the afternoon, you get an absolute crash. And just keeping the water. Like, I know it sounds
Stay hydrated.
A ridiculous thing to say. And, well, we've all heard it before, but like water, the difference water can make to you just by nailing water all day is for me, it's huge.
So I do
push that.
Staying away from those energy drinks as well, the sort of monster Red Bull drinks that, you know, are a real trend. But actually, we can see the effect that has on people's heart rate and their blood pressure, and it's doing them no good at all. So, to stay away from them.
That's it. I mean, I think, you know, from personal experience, people have to treat lambing in springtime. It's a marathon, not a sprint, you know, and you've really got to be prepared, you know, for the endurance event, if you like, that is lambing, is calving, is trying to get a bit of grass work done at the same time, you know, worrying about all these different things, you know, and you take so much on as a farmer, because everyone knows you've got to be a jack of all trades as well, and you've got to be sharp of your mind. If you start getting exhausted, tired, trying to cut corners, you know, that's when you do something you might regret, whether you, you know, do something with a tractor, you know, PTO shafts, whatever, you're thinking, well, I need to rush on, need to take a corner, bang an accident, you know, kick cows and calves. You know, you put yourself in a position you maybe shouldn't with a fresh calved cow. You just think, oh, they'll just nick in and tag this. If you're kind of mentally tired because you're on a sugar crash, or you've just not been looking after yourself, trying to get, you know, a hot, square, nutritious meal into you, you've got to be prepared for that. And in, you know, it's very, very important. And yeah, that's how I would liken it anyway. And you know, you've got to treat your body with the respect it deserves to be able to do the job that you're asking it to. So, I mean, I suppose one of the things that we're on here to talk about is kind of looking forward from here as well, and what options people might have available. And Mike, I'm aware that you're sitting there listening, taking it all in. Do you want to kind of have a bit of a chat, not so much about what just us as Galbraith can offer, but what might be available to farmers if they find themselves in a bit of a position, if they're looking at, I can't face another spring, or maybe people with lack of succession, you know, because when people get stressed and fatigued and they're going through losses, sometimes underlying issues become highlighted as well. You know, what am I doing all this for? I'm 40 and I still don't know, you know, is the farm going to be mine? Is it going to be sold from underneath me? Like, you know, what kind of tools do we have available to people, and what kind of opportunities are there?
I think you've just opened up about five podcast topic subjects there all in one fell swoop.
Yep.
You could, that's a huge area. I've enjoyed listening. I used to dairy farm, and I'm kind of 10 years, I'd say, out of the real sharp end of farming. But all that diet, I mean, I lived in sugar, got fat once I stopped milking cows because I didn't change my diet. And it's great to listen to. And I suppose the starting point you made about the sun comes out, because I remember sitting in a kitchen waiting for foot and mouth to come through the valley, and you never thought that, you know, they thought that that's the end, and it's there's always a sunny day down the road somewhere. So, but in terms of the question, what you said, I mean, there's lots of things. This is a good time of year probably for consultants, who we get the chance to go out and see a lot of our clients doing BPS, IAX work.
Yeah.
You're at the end of the phone, someone's a bit down, you're a point of contact, you've got a reason to speak to people. They start planning going forward, what we're going to do, what's going to be the support measures going forward. In terms of more business planning, you know, a lot of people should be farmers or businessmen or businesswomen. We should be doing budgets and things like that. So obviously, if we've lost, if we've had a bad spring, maybe our output's not going to be as high.
Yeah.
I'll mention maybe feed costs, straw costs are going to be high in the back end. So you can have a look at that now. Plan, is there alternatives? Can we do something? Can we sell store cattle rather than taking things through fat? Although many people might take that as an option, so
yeah.
It does affect prices. I mean, yeah, succession is a, you know, I'd say that's a whole minefield in itself.
Yep.
part of the reason I'm sitting here is just because of succession rather than still farming. You know, that was so, you know.
And what about kind of integrated land management plans, these kind of things?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that, you know, probably a good place for farmers to start is with a farm advisory service. There's a good chunk of funding there for every business to look at integrated land management plan. So that's just a wide look at the business, doing gross margin analysis and a bit of benchmarking to see how you compare to other people in similar systems. And then if there's something specifically that you can identify, there's two chunks of specialist advice that are also funded by the Farm Advisory Service.
Okay.
So it's a great place to start for people who are thinking, what do I do now?
No, it's really important that, you know, people do start looking forward to the year ahead. I know it's difficult to see past the kind of struggles at the moment, but as we do kind of hopefully get through May, you know, towards June, you know, people have a bit more kind of breathing space, a bit more time to kind of gather themselves, to get a bit of composure and look forward, you know, to the rest of the year ahead. And hopefully there won't be quite... of course, there'll be challenges. There's always challenges in agriculture. But just making them aware that, you know, it doesn't cost anything to pick up the phone and talk through the options with us. You know, and that it's amazing, you know, the amount of grant funding that is available that can be accessed by any farming business, you know, for that professional advice through the integrated land management plan. And likewise, you know, speak to your friend if you heard they've got a grant for doing something. You know, how did you get that? Who did you speak to? You know, whether it's through, I know Robert Ramsey at SSE does a lot of stuff for you, Cammy. You know, pick up the phone to these guys as well. You know, we're not the only ones here. In your farming business, Cammy, are you doing any, or are you starting to think about any resilience planning for next year? Are you going to change things up a bit?
We're in a fortunate position just now. Like, sheep are just, we're just in a crazy spot just now with sheep. I don't know what to make of it, to be honest with you. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's incredible,
like,
isn't it?
I'm not going to... And I think that may be one thing that saved a lot of people this spring, is that despite the losses, sheep are way ahead of where we ever expected them to be. So you could look at it the other way, that if you were to attach a price to the amount you've lost,
don't do that.
You would really be upset. But if you actually think about what's on the ground and the value of what's on the ground, despite the losses, you'll probably still be way ahead of last year if it holds somewhere where it is. So I don't... Maybe this is naive of me. The other big thing is I don't have a huge rent bill, but I don't have a big mortgage. And with that, I have significantly less pressure than a lot of people. In that, if it all goes wrong for me, so if let's say sheep, God forbid, sheep plummeted to a fraction of what it is just now, and it was a disaster, I can just say I don't need those blocks next year.
Yeah.
You know, I can get out faster, I can get away. So I don't have the same pressure that some people have, a huge mortgage that they've got to service. But for me, being a sheep farmer, I might get a row for saying it, but I'm not too worried about resilience planning at the moment.
Yeah.
If someone starts spreading information that we need to start panicking, I'll think about it. But as it is just now, touch wood, I'm positive for the future, certainly for our sector.
And yeah, you mentioned, I suppose this is kind of a bit of a practical thing, but you mentioned having far too many triplets this year and the headaches that's caused. Are you thinking now about how you're going to manage that potential issue next year? Are you going to change the ewes, or are you going to run them tighter, maybe not make them as fit coming into tupping? What are you going to be doing?
Yeah, I mean, one factor this year, despite the fact it was unbelievably wet, it was unbelievably mild.
Yeah.
And here in Ayrshire, the grass never stopped.
Yeah.
So the ewes, they had a great tupping time. Okay, it was wet. They had a great tupping time. The whole year, they had a lot of grass in front of them. It has been good in that sense. For me, it's quite a tricky one, because initially I was thinking, let's move towards a more less labour-intensive system, more outdoor lambing, a lower scanning percentage. But then if we flip it the other way, if lamb prices and the strength of the lamb job is going to be where it is, there's probably more merit in putting up a couple of polytunnels and sticking with something as prolific as the Scotch mule and actually having a higher scanning percentage with more inputs,
yes.
You know, more feed, more labour, but actually feed prices coming down the way fractionally, slightly, and lambs are just
flying.
You know, if they're going to stay where they are, it's probably a better business choice to stick with the high work, high input system. It's food for thought. It's something to think about. You know, I don't know. The honest answer is I don't know what we should do next year. But certainly, if we're going to lamb the triplet, as many mules and triplets again, we'll have to stick a couple of polytunnels up or something like that to put the triplets in.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose the positive is, you know, you've touched on it there. You know, sheep are absolutely flying at the minute. I'm no auctioneer or economist, but surely with that high price has led to a lot of hogs coming out of the system as well into the food chain. You know, surely, you know, sheep can't, the volume, the price can't fall, you wouldn't think, coming into the back end and coming into next year. There's going to be the demand there for breeding stock and also the food chain.
Yeah, I mean, one big worry is always the, you know, trade deals. In Europe, we have a fantastic, we obviously have a fantastic deal set up just now, whereas, you know, I think it's something like 30-odd% of our lambs to France and another big chunk goes to Germany. Yep. We're fortunate in the UK, we're close to a very large Muslim population, not just in England, but in Europe as well, which is fantastic for the sheep job. There is that strength there. And I think this spring is a prime example of why, I think we're seeing it more and more with cattle as well. Like, nobody wants to lamb sheep.
Yeah.
I'm saying nobody. Less and less people want to lamb sheep or calf cows. Yep. But there's more and more want to do stores, the store lamb job or the store cattle job. Because you take away all that really, really hard work, the high risk, the losses, the carrying sheep through that January to April part where, grass is short and things are very tough.
Yeah.
So I think, I actually don't know if breeding sheep will rise as much as they should.
Okay.
With a Texel lamb at 42 kilos or a fat lamb at 42 kilos making 170, 180 pounds, a good breeding gimmer, should be £300.
Yeah, should be. Yeah,
but it's a no-brainer. But they won't. I really don't see that because I think the demand for store lambs and for lamb as a product is probably increasing or certainly staying the same, but the numbers are decreasing, which drives demand. But I don't actually think there's much more demand for breeding sheep because I think less and less people want to do it.
No, you're probably right. You are right. And
your point about killing new lambs is a very valid point, though, because if there's a lot less breeding sheep, then the price has to go up. Of course.
Well, that was my logic.
That's true.
You know, but you know, I'm based in Stirling here within the United Auctions building, and you know, I see what's going through the ring, and you're just kind of going, well, you know, she's never going to see the top, you know, effectively, and you know, but why wouldn't you? You know, at the minute, if you can cash in, it's hard not to take the money when it's there and available.
I was going to say, Al, do you think that maybe leads into part of the succession discussion? If we've got high sheep prices, high lamb prices, probably historic high land prices, we've got higher interest rates for people who are borrowing money. When people have a scunnered, they've had a bad spring, there's no succession there. You know, these are the types of decisions or these are types of factors that feed into people's decisions to have a change or exit the industry or look for a contractor or somebody to come in and do do the hard part of the job.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, I think people will always think that we're in a hard sale. You know, are there someone retiring? You know, let's get in there and sell their farm. That's not always the case. You know, there are so many opportunities. You know, Cammy being case in point, there are so many people out there who want to have a career in agriculture, but don't have the backing or the ability to borrow, you know, a lot of money to buy a farm, to stock it, to put machinery on it, you know, etc., etc. So, you know, there are opportunities there to rent your farm out, go into contract farming agreements, share farming agreements. You know, there's so many tools available to farmers who either don't want to do it anymore or can't do it anymore, but maybe still want to be attached to their farm. You know, we're not going in there. You don't just phone us up and we're coming to chase you out your farm and sell it for a commission. That's not us. You know, yes, of course, that's one thing we can do. but there's so many more opportunities there. And just, you know, having that discussion with someone who knows what's available and how to do it. And, you know, the thing is, have these discussions early, because sometimes you need to sow a couple of seeds and people go away and, you know, have a think about it, have a discussion with the family. You know, what do you want to achieve here? Why are we doing this? You know, do we want to keep doing it? You know, what does it look like? And, you know, there are so many people that I know through so many walks of life who want to get into agriculture and can't, you know, predominantly because of the financial constraints, but that there should in theory be more land coming available. You look at the age demographic of the agricultural community. You know, I see it in the market here on a Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and all their other sales days. You know, in general, the faces aren't getting much younger. Maybe that's been the hard weather, I don't know. But, you know, it's a serious issue that agriculture has to deal with, is availability of land and you know, the entry point for people. So that's something that, you know, it's really good to talk about.
And I think what's something we'll be really encouraging farmers to do after this awful spring is to try and take a break, get off the farm. And that's when you can clear your head if you're feeling overwhelmed and actually get some quiet time to think through some of these big potential decisions or changes of direction. And people will always say, oh, I can't get off the farm, I can't get away. But you can. You can find a way. And we are seeing people do that. You can pay your neighbour. Or if you really can't get off the farm, get to something like Scotch Sheep. Go to the Highland Show. Even the car journey coming home from these events gives you a clear head, just a chance to think things through, your direction, things like succession, best way forward, but so good for your mental health. We know if we can persuade clients to get off their farms, even for one night, they're in a different position when they come back and they can really think strategically and much better, both for their personal life and their business life.
That's right. It's a complete balance, isn't it? You know, that's and I think that's probably what farmers are guilty of not having, is much balance. It's just farming, especially at this time of year. But, you know, the sun will come out hopefully in the next few days, and I know it's like the best job in the world. You know, when the sun's shining, you can see a bite of grass in front of the ewes and lambs and cows, calves, or you see your barley or your wheat coming up through the ground. You know, it's a magical industry, and that's what people have to hold on to.
One thing I'd say, Ali, as well, is that, you know, for years and years, the sheep job, I mean, to be perfectly honest, the sheep job being as it is now, or it has been over the last few years, if it wasn't for that increase in the strength, like, I would have been out of it, because we were just losing. When I first started with sheep a few years ago, renting ground, you know, I was just subsidising it all with shearing, with my police wage. It was just money down the drain all the time, and it couldn't have went on that way, whereas now we can actually grow it a bit, and we can buy the type of sheep we want rather than just the cheapest ones, and potentially look at, obviously, our goals to get into a farm at some point, which, if the sheep stay the way it is, it's looking more and more promising. But one thing I'd say to folk, that this strength in the sheep job will hopefully be giving them a bit more slack in the finances, would be, if they are struggling or they're feeling it, is try and find an extra member of staff. Mm-hmm. Try and find, even if it's just a self-employed shepherd, two days a week, just sign them up. Take them every Tuesday and Thursday, or every Tuesday, Wednesday. And, you know, a lot of people have in their head, oh, no, I can do all this myself, that's a waste of money. But see the difference. We have a young lass called Marissa, who anyone that's seen the sheep game will know. She comes out, well, she's only weekends just now because she's at college, but, like, see the difference just having an extra pair of hands, even if it's simple as somebody to open the gates.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But no, totally. You know, the best thing just now when Marissa's out is she's absolutely rapid, so see these lambs with joint ill and stuff, I pull a hamstring. See, if I'm trying to catch a lamb, I'm guaranteed to lose, a hamstring's going to ping.
Yeah.
Whereas she is just, you know, she's rapid.
Yeah.
See, just having an extra pair of hands, yes, it costs you a bit more money, but hopefully with the sheep trade the way it is, it maybe gives farmers that little bit more financial freedom, that little bit of space in the finances to maybe bring somebody in one or two days a week.
Yeah.
And then they could plan their big jobs around that person coming and make the whole thing. And you have that extra person.
It's company. Yeah.
You know, and it's amazing how much less you argue with your wife or husband when there's a witness there. So it's great even for that.
Poor Lizzie. Well, that's great. I mean, I think we've been on for about 40 minutes or so now, so we'll just wrap it up. And I think the few key messages there are, look after yourself, number one. You know, that's absolutely first priority. You know, stock come and go. You're the constant. You're the number one. You know, and the farm should revolve around you. Get yourself kitted out as well, as you said there. You know, get yourself a decent set of waterproofs. You know, a decent pair of boots or wellies. And you know, if you can stay dry and warm in these horrible days, and you're not having to be in and out. You know, five pairs of, you know, trousers in a day, and you're soaking, and it's not good for your body. You know, for the sake of whatever, a couple of £100, you know, however much it seems like a lot of money, it's one and a half lambs at the minute.
So exactly, it's only one fat lamb.
Well, and you know, that's the daft thing. You know, going in the last few years as well, you know, you won't need a new pair every 6 months because they're burst or whatever. You know, and you know, reach out, keep talking, phone your pals, and you know, RSABI, of course, there as well, doing their wonderful work to the community, and have done for a long time, and hopefully will do for a long time going forward. So, and as you know, business supporters of RSABI, we're very proud to be affiliated with them, very proud to support them, and you know, 100% support the work that they do within the agricultural community.
Well, really, really grateful for all the support from Galbraith and Cammy at the Sheep Game as well. You're all wonderful supporters, and it makes a massive difference, so thank you.
It's fantastic to speak to you guys, and second everything Ali's saying there about RSABI and the work they do. And it's one of those things I say, and I'll just put this in as a final thing, is like, I know myself, I would never phone a friend if I was, you know, if I was really down and need to speak to somebody. I would actually never phone one of my peers, one of my other farmers, and tell them I was in a bad place.
Yep.
Because it's that old macho sign of weakness thing. And I know myself, I wouldn't do it.
Yep.
But what I would do is phone a stranger.
Yep.
And speak to a stranger.
Yep.
Which is what you get when you phone RSABI. You're speaking to a professional who... Yep. Doesn't know you, you know, it's all confidential.
Mm-hmm.
If halfway through the call you decide actually this was a mistake, I shouldn't have done this, you hang up.
Yeah.
And there's nothing lost. So like, yeah, I really would, if you're in a bad way, give them a phone.
Yeah.
I would say please don't hesitate. That's great to hear, Cammy, but so often we hear from people who've said, I wish I called you 6 months ago. So please don't hesitate. Do just pick up the phone and reach out. We're here for you.
Yeah, and likewise, you know, all of our agents at Galbraith, you know, don't feel like we're going to charge you a fee, you know, to pick up the phone. We're genuine people, you know, we care about people. That's why we're agents, is to look after, you know, farmers, people in the farming community. Please reach out. We're people, we care. And yeah, just pick up the phone.
There's quite a few of the Galbraith staff have done the kind of mental health, first aid training and things.
Yep.
So that's, you know, as Al says, we're all farmers. We know what's going on. If we're not still doing it at home, we'll probably have family or who are going through it as well. So give us a shout.
Excellent. Well, that's just all that we've got time for on today's show. Ali, thank you very much for effectively hosting the show. It's been really, really good to hear from the esteemed panel for another excellent discussion. Al and Mike, as I said, thanks for joining me representing Galbraith. We've been trying to get you both on for a while, so thanks for joining.
No worries.
Very welcome. I think I opened some cans of worms there with a few topics that there's maybe some screen time in.
Absolutely. We're always keen to continue to grow the podcast, and it also starts with having someone on from Galbraith, so it's always very good. So I'm sure we'll reconvene us in the future for this.
I look forward to it.
Thanks, of course, to Carol McLaren from RSABI. Carol, it's been great having you on as well, and hearing about the fantastic services that RSABI have to offer in farmers, especially during difficult times.
Thank you. Really appreciate your help to spread the word. Thank you.
And finally, to Cammy Wilson. Cammy, many thanks for offering your knowledge, giving those an understanding of the farming industry for today's discussion. As someone like myself who's not in the rural, not with a rural background, it's been a real education listening to you today. So thank you very much.
No, thanks for having me. I'd always say it's more opinion than knowledge, so don't take it too serious.
Yeah, Say it with confidence.
You sound quite knowledgeable to me. So.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
That's it, mate. That's it. Anything you say with confidence, people believe it.
And of course, please make sure to follow Cammy and his team on the Fed by Farmers podcast and the Sheep Game on YouTube. You don't need it necessarily a plug for myself, but there are, of course, people out there that will be listening to yourself for the first time. So,
no, thank you.
If you've enjoyed today's discussion, please make sure to subscribe to Galbraith Podcast on Spotify or Apple so you never miss an episode. Leave a review or just say hi. We're always looking to grow, so please tell a friend and please listen back to previous episodes of the show. There's been a whole host of excellent discussions involving Galbraith experts and external guests across all our business streams, so please make sure to follow us as well across on social media at Galbraith Group. Thank you for listening. I've been Matt Finlay and this has been Galbraith Podcasts.